Hi friends, welcome to Fear Less, a podcast for beauty professionals ready to take your career to the next level. I'm your host, Alex Torres. In these episodes, you'll hear from successful professionals in and out of the industry. We'll dig deep to hear about obstacles they've overcome and how through living authentically, they've achieved their biggest goals. My hope is with each listen, we can all live a little more authentically and ultimately fear a little less. Hi friends, welcome back. And for those of you that it's your first time, I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to Fear Less. I hope that each and every one of you are doing well in the midst of all the crazy that's happening in the world. I know that we're all experiencing different things right now, and I just hope that this podcast for you can be an escape and something that you can enjoy a little bit of a getaway in the crazy world that we're currently living in. And I know that this week will be no exception to that escape because I got to sit down with Lenny Strand, who is truly an all-around incredible guy with really great stories and insight for us to all connect with. And, you know, we go through things from Lenny growing up as a young gay boy and a child with one traffic light in the Midwest to working for Sally Hershberger Salon in Beverly Hills and being one of the largest technical directors for a brand in this industry. And he is just an all-around incredible guy. And I can't wait for you guys to experience this episode with us. It's so great. And I know you're going to enjoy Lenny. One of my favorite things he talked about was being a warrior and not a worrier. And it's really easy in the time that we're in right now to be warriors and not warriors. And we got to continue to fight the fight and come out of this on top in every aspect of life. And I know that this episode will help give some insight into that. So listen, if you guys enjoy this podcast, please, I know I ask every week, but review, rate, let us know what you think on whatever platform you're listening to. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at fear.lesspodcast. We want to connect with you there and everywhere. Thanks, guys. Enjoy my good friend, Lenny Strand. So, hi, Lenny. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good in this quarantine, I have to say. You hanging in there?
I am. I've been saying to people, I feel like I've never worked harder in my life for some reason, but I think I got that answered by a quote from Brené Brown, so I can share that with you later.
I love her. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you. So thanks for joining. And for those of you, I'm sure many of you already know this, but for those of you who do not, Lenny is truly an incredible person. He's a technical director for Matrix, works at Sally Hershberger Salon in Beverly Hills. He's a fashion icon in my eyes, and one of the most genuine, authentic people I know. And I just am so excited. I think you're going to be such a gift for the people who listen to this podcast. So again, thank you.
Well, thank you for that beautiful introduction, and no pressure.
No pressure. No pressure.
If you could see my hair right now, Alex, and what I'm wearing, that fashion icon, might be debatable.
Yeah, well, I think we're all looking a little bummy at this point in time.
Right.
Although we got to dress up every now and then.
Oh yeah.
All right, so let's dive in. I want to know, you know, I just gave all these accolades about how fantastic you are, and you really are. But, you know, I always start here because we all come from somewhere and our stories are all different, but yet I find we can find similarities in each other's stories. So I want to know about Lenny. How did you get into the hair industry? You know, like, what was your life leading up to now, right? Before you got to all these great places.
Well, Alex, it's interesting. I grew up in a really rural community in southern Minnesota, about 40 minutes south of Minneapolis. And literally it had one stoplight at First and Main. I grew up there in the, you know, late 70s and 80s, early 80s. That's where I spent my childhood. And it was a, you know, gay guy, you know, awesome parents, but with no skills to handle the situation and the kid that they had. And so I struggled through high school and was getting ready to go to college. And my mother, for some reason, is upset. Well, I guess maybe this is where I get it. She's obsessed with like good teeth, great shoes, and great hair. So wherever the hell that came from, I don't know for her. So I used to go to great hair salons and would get like skincare and all that stuff. And it was really awesome, like when I was in high school. And I struggled with acne and all of that. But that being said, my mother was willing to pay for these services to me. So I went to really great hair salons. And, you know, in my mind, then they were just like iconic, right? And bougie. And I have fairly decent hair, right? Even better then. And my stylist was going to be in a competition, Alex, in a men's hair competition.
Oh, fancy.
Be her model. And I said, yes. And I went to this, can you imagine? I go to this convention in Minneapolis.
And how old were you at this time?
I'm probably around like 17-ish, right? In that arena.
Uh-huh.
You know, late 16, 17. So I'm looking at, you know, college options and career paths and all this stuff. And I've been applying to colleges and looking at some other stuff. And I go to this hair show as a model and I get there and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is outrageous. Like, I'm like, I feel like I found my people. Like, it was instantaneous. Like, I was just awestruck. And we didn't win. I don't think we placed, regardless. But this is what came out of it, was this community that I found that was like, I like these people, right? Like, they're creative and they're fancy and they got cool ass hair and good shoes. And I'm thinking this is an interesting thing to explore. And that's how it started.
I love that. And I remember not that I got into hair before I went to anything quite big like that, but I remember going to my first premiere show in Orlando and I was like, this is like Disney World for hairdressers. Like, it's just mind blowing. You don't realize how vast the industry is until you see something like that. Right. And I really love that your mom was all about good hair, good teeth, and good shoes. Cause I think you, you've kept that motto true to yourself, even to this day.
Right. So, Alex, I did just talk about shoes really quick. I did a Feel Good Friday on a Facebook Live, and my partner, Stuart, because I got a shoe problem. And, I'm going to do this on the podcast. Now he's going to find out. So I bought these post-pandemic shoes.
I saw those shoes.
Yeah, do a little retail therapy. And I've been hiding them in my closet. Anyway, I wear them when he's at work. He goes once a week.
You just walk around the house in them until you can debut them in public.
Yeah, they're still new. All right, moving on.
I love those shoes.
I feel like I have to say it. It takes some of the guilt away.
Yeah. We won't let him listen to this.
Okay.
So, Lenny with the good shoes. Then how did you... You're there. You've decided to go to hair school or cosmetology school and figure out this world. And then did you go to cosmetology school in Minnesota, or like did you run away to California?
I did. I went in to school in Minneapolis. And I went to, you know, a very traditional cosmetology school. It was interesting. There were two options. And I don't know why I picked the one I did, because it was, you know, a very predictable kind of just the mindset of what one of those would look like. However, you know, Horst in Aveda is out of Minneapolis. And that was really when I was starting. So I had a lot of friends who went there. And I, hindsight now, I mean, that would have been a whole nother. I mean, I'm in a really great place. But I think now, like, the education I got inside of cosmetology, where I went, was okay. And I could have had great.
Yeah, but maybe that's what made you hungry for more, right? Because you didn't go to that school. I don't know,
but you know, I look back now, and I mean, if there's any wisdom, it's like, do your research and figure out what your options are. And you know, I think maybe I was a little you know, just pulled the trigger fast and didn't kind of investigate all my options.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's so important that we, especially if you've got multiple schools in the area, tour a few. But just to think that, you know, you were in a town with one stoplight and now you're where you are, like, and you went to a little mom and pop type school. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who could probably resonate with some of that too. Like, it does, you don't have to go. Now, we would all love for you to go to the greatest schools, but you know, as long as you've got passion and drive, right, it can take you far no matter where you went to cosmetology school, I think, right?
Oh yeah. And that, honestly, Alex, at the end of the day, that would be the same sentiment if I had gone to Horst, right? It's just a bougie Lenny would have loved to have gone to Horst and figured that out. But regardless, really the education comes in the practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what's next? How'd you go from there to?
Well, okay. So let's talk about the silver lining of the mom and pop's place.
Oh yeah.
So there's this, I remember her name. This is bizarre. Her name was Kathy Klemmer, and Kathy Klemmer worked for a company out of Minneapolis as a receptionist in the hair salon, and that's how she started. And the name of this company was Rocco Altobelli's, and they were a big organization in Minneapolis. It was like the Horst and the Rocco people, like, where do you work, right? And it was the other bouge, and she was the receptionist. And she was also in my cosmetology school. And as I was getting towards the end, Alex, there was my mentor, my original mentor. He's passed away now. His name is Richard Hudavani. And he was the technical director, if you will, at the time for Rocco Altobelli's, because we were departmentalized and definitively departmentalized. So you made a choice when you went to work there, whether you were going to be on the technical side or the cutting side. And it was collaborative and a really, what I would suggest, a fantastic business model that has evaporated, unfortunately, because it really creates, I mean, this is a whole nother podcast about creating community inside your business and communication, right? You have to understand hair cutting to know where to do color placement if two different people are working on the head. Yes?
Yes.
I digress. So Richard had reached out to her and said, hey, you know, we like to cultivate our new hires from cosmetology school, because then we can brand them with our methodology and training. Is there anybody there that you see has potential? Because we'd like to get them interviewed. And that really is what happened. And I walked into this interview at Rocco's, and you know, I'm fresh off the farm. I'm, you know, a year into this career. I got some sass in my step, and Kathy, this guy calls me, Richard Hudavani. And if you don't know who he is, you should Google him. And if anybody's listening to this, because he's an amazing human being and helps create an empire there in color. And I went on this interview. I'm like 19. And he goes, well, are you interviewing to be a colorist or a cutter? And I don't know where this wisdom came from, or maybe there wasn't any, Alex. I thought to myself, I had a pause and I thought, you know, there are a gazillion hair cutters out there. But who really does color? And I just said colorist. And I started in their training program before I had even graduated from cosmetology school, because their program is a year mandatory. Whether you had 15 years of experience or not, you went to their training center in Burnsville, Minnesota, and spent a year learning face shapes, how to do perm rods. I mean, you got to go back, right? We had a method, because clients that came there came to see Lenny or Alex, but they weren't Lenny and Alex's clients. They were clients of the company, right?
Yeah.
Different business.
Interesting.
Oh, very.
Yeah. And I feel like there's less, we're seeing less and less of that, right? Like as the industry's progressed, I don't know. But cool to be able to get that much training for that long, right? To be at the caliber that you can see those guests in that salon.
Well, yes, and it taught us. I mean, there are a lot of successful people that came out of that organization, and we learned discipline and communication and collaborative work environment. And and, you know, consistency. And that it's what made that business so great. And there's no, well, listen, I don't see myself having the success that I do now without that fundamental basis.
Yeah. And so do you feel like that is what sort of sparked your, like, your interest for teaching and sharing? Like, where did that start? When did, you know, was it at that first salon with Richard that you sort of got this spark to want to teach? Like, where did that come from?
Oh, well, you know, this is very, it's like, oh my God, I listen to Constance. Like, listen, there isn't a stage that I haven't loved. So, I mean, so, you know, go back to high school and theater and, you know, I don't know what they call it, forensics and speech and stuff like that. I did all of that in high school. So, you know, theater and all of that stuff is a very comfortable space for me. And so, you know, having educational experiences is really a natural space for me. We can get into that, Alex, because I think there's some depth there about talking about the evolution of facilitation and training and doing that type of work.
Yeah. Okay. So what took you from, like, let me ask this. When did you move to California? How'd you go from there? Like, did you move to California as a hairdresser first? Did you start teaching for a brand? Like, what's sort of the path next?
Well, I realized that I had never really traveled or done anything. And I finished my training at Rocco's. I worked for about 2 years there, had a stellar clientele. And in the third year that my business there, I took a 3-week trip to Europe. And it changed my life. And I went to Greece and Italy and spent time just sort of running around. And I came home and I thought, you know, this world is way bigger than Minnesota. And I'm tired of shoveling snow, man. So I put the feelers out and, you know, expect a miracle because, you know, like the one with Kathy Klemmer and Richard, like a gentleman from Horst, by the way, David, oh my God, his last name will come to me. Anyway, David had moved to California and was looking to put together an education team for a company by the name of Fermisi. I'm sure you've heard of it. And he needed people to do education for him. And really the requirement was, could you color hair?
Not a big ask.
Swear to God, I took the job. And I got into a 1978 white Volkswagen convertible, perfect for Southern California. I packed that sucker to the brim with all the shit that I had in my possessions. And I spent 4 days driving across this country at about 40 miles an hour, because that's all the horsepower I had, reading a Fermisi manual in the passenger seat because it was all in Italian. Things like Azadors and, you know, numeric systems and all of this stuff. And I schooled myself in 4 days driving across the country. And I was the basically technical director for Fermisi Southern California. Never squeezed it out of the tube, Alex.
Oh my God. It's kind of amazing though. Batshit crazy. No, it's, yep. But it's what's funny is I can see you in this little VW driving with your top down, driving across the country. And I think what I love so much about that, and I know, you know, when we're young, we're even more willing to sometimes to take crazy chances. But I think that, you know, this podcast is called Fearless, and it's all about, like, not being afraid to take chances or go for things that you want to go for. And you, Europe gave you this inspiration. And the next thing you know, you're in your car driving across the country and a technical director for a brand you know nothing about. But hey, like, look where it got you.
And I think, I mean, Alex, you've known me for a while now. I think I live my life in that space. You know, I've been doing this profession longer than you've been alive. And not that I'm some fantastic role model, but what I would say that I've done well is that I have continued to evolve. You know, when I started, we were pulling hair through a cap. And now I'm doing balayage and I'm a master at it. Like, there's a lot of people in my generation who could use a little fire under their ass, right? And
100%.
And live in that discovery space and throw yourself off the cliff a little bit and be fearless.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to that point, like, because you're consistently throwing yourself off cliffs, you're the evolution doesn't stop, right? Like, you continue to grow and learn, which ultimately leads to more and more growth and more potential. And I know, even right now, while we're all quarantined and stuck in our houses, you're throwing yourself off a cliff with some of this digital stuff and kicking ass at it, right? And I remember on our Feel Good Friday, you talked about an FFT, and maybe we'll get to that point too. But what is it? Fucking First Time, Brené Brown's thing.
First Time. Yeah.
Yeah. But the more we do that stuff and the more we find inspiration that tells us it's okay to do that stuff, the more we grow. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and this is Brené's words, that the more we take chances and the more that we're malleable and have the opportunity to jump off a cliff or to be brave, the more it becomes comfortable and the more often we're willing to try it, because we start to normalize the suck of new, right? And so the suck of new starts to become almost like adrenaline for us. So you just got to jump that first time. And so if there's somebody listening to this, and again, I'm not here to, like, this isn't coming from a place of judgment or you're not keeping up, but what I am asking, the ask or the call to action would be, try it. What is the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you come out of it and go, yeah, that didn't work for me. You know,
right?
I'm intrigued enough to jump again.
Yeah. No, that it's so true. And it's, you know, it's, I know I hope to be able to one day say I've been doing this professionally longer than you've been alive, but it's because of people like you and the people that I've had the opportunity to surround myself with that are constantly giving me permission to jump off the cliff and try it. And then, to your point, it's like, well, if it doesn't work, then fuck it. I'll try something else next time. But it's the only way we grow and learn. Yeah, I love that.
It's really, really true. And, you know, I it's sort of like I'm in this, having this conversation with you in this sort of, you know, vulnerable space about being transparent. Because, you know, I kind of say, like, I'm a no bullshit guy, right? Like, that I'm going to put out there, whether it's a social platform or in the salon or through my education professionally, you know, I'm a working hairdresser who's behind the chair, and I also wear a hat that's, you know, a manufacturer, right? So I have a voice box for it. So my intention always is to set people up to win and find their greatest performance. And one of the things I was thinking about with this Fermisi conversation was, you know, I kind of BS'd my way through that, but in a way, right? I'm thinking about this, like, were you full of shit then? Well, a little bit maybe, because I didn't really know the verbiage and what it meant, but where there was, you know, authenticity, which is important to me, is I knew how to color hair. So it didn't matter what the brand was.
Right.
Right. I just had to learn the names and the levels and how it functioned inside of it. But what Richard taught me at Rocco's was how to color hair. So it didn't matter what it was on the tube. It didn't matter what Kool-Aid I drank. I could color hair and formulate. So I BS'd a little bit on names and words and whatever, but my ABCs were solid and my methodology was solid.
Yep. And you can, and when you have that, you can take it anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is something that I think you do so well. And, you know, just talking, like, you know, with your role being a technical director, right, for a brand, it's of course there's the technical pieces and the way that the books tell us to say things, but then there's also real lived experience and with the color. And what I appreciate about you and what I think we can all be better at all the time is sharing that stuff, right? So you're open to sharing the real and what things do for you. And when something may work a little differently or a little better one way than the book says, you're not afraid to share it. And I think that those are the things that, you know, whether it's conversations that we're having with clients about product or asking the owner of our salon to maybe try something a little bit different, it's not being afraid to share your real opinion and hiding behind or being afraid to step outside of what's allowed, right? Like when you take those chances to be different, hopefully a lot of the time it will end in good. And if not, it'll end in a great conversation with somebody about why you shouldn't have done it. But one way or another, you get your point across.
Yeah. And I think it's always, you know, it's always the context of how that's delivered, right? I don't take this position lightly. And I am very thoughtful. I don't know if calculated is the right word, but I I'm a realist in I reality check expectations, another Brené Brown. So that when I am having technical conversations in the salon, like, you know, when I'm on the road and stuff, I want to make sure that when I leave there, that team of people has been left with a feeling of greatness and confidence, and that the information that I shared with them through the brand of Matrix, because that's the Kool-Aid I drank and the brand that I love, that it is going to work for them. Because what I don't want to have to happen is when I leave there that they say, Lenny said this because I didn't reality check expectations, and then the product didn't work, and so I've set them up for, you know, resentment and disappointment, and then it's not about Lenny anymore, it's about the brand. And that's an integrity issue for me, right? Like, I think it's a very delicate and I take it very seriously. So, Chris Benson says, his quote is, his intention through education is to leave this business in a better place than he found it. And I love that quote from Chris. And he is a shining example of that.
Oh, he is such the definition of that. And I hope I can have him on here one day soon. And okay, so yes, leave the industry better than you found it. And you were talking about your integrity, and you said something earlier. Sorry, I'm trying to. This is Alex when he starts having too many thoughts combine at one time. You were talking about the context. This is it. The context and how you deliver something. And your integrity as a hairdresser is important for what you leave behind. And so I think that when there a couple episodes ago, Jessie Lewis, her big overarching theme was remembering your why. And your why to me is so true and authentic. And because you care and deeply value the people that you're sharing with, you can maneuver and take people down a different path because it is the context and how you say it that will leave the industry better than how you found it. I know that was like sort of an all over the place thing, but that's what I get from you, I guess.
And so we can digress to earlier in this conversation. And I think this loop, so I heard you and I think I know where you're going with it. And one of the things that shifted for me was that, like I said, there's not a stage I haven't met that I didn't love, right? I would have loved to have been an actor and been very comfortable. Or even, I even thought about like a spiritual path, right? Like, I love human beings and that connection. And so I get to express that through the art of hair. That being said, back then, when I was educating and doing things, when I was in that arena, it was about me. It was all about me, right? Mm. Made me feel good, made me feel valued. It made me feel connected. It made me feel big. It made me all of those things that can be okay, but maybe not the best intention. And when I shifted my mindset that what I'm doing and how I'm touching people has nothing to do with me and everything about them, the way that I deliver information and the context of how I deliver that information and the tools that I have been given to be able to hone those skills changes the conversation and the outcome of everything we do in life, not just a hair conversation, right? Mm. Like, my facilitation now is about the learner. I didn't have that information when I started. It was about a performance for Lenny that had great information and good content in it, but it was about me. Not anymore.
So interesting.
Yeah. Now, like, I was so worried about what my hair looked like and this and that. And I'm way more like, I'm ready to go on stage and in front of however many, you know? And I truly mean this, is like, it's so not about me, and my mindset's so there because I'm in the context about how can I share this information that I don't even think about it anymore. I'm being really transparent about it, but I'm also being honest, Alex. I mean, it's a shift.
And I love that you're being transparent because I think people will connect to that. And when you, so let me ask this, because this is sort of, so you, when you started, it was sort of about the stage for Lenny, right? And so my question is, when do you feel like that shift started to happen from when it was you to who it was really about? And then when you started to shift that mindset, when you started to grow in that way because you love people, do you feel like the relationships and things that you built and the way you grew in your career started to shift to in any way? I won't lead you anywhere. That's my question.
Absolutely. It was 2012. It was facilitated through a program I took with Matrix. I walked into a room and couldn't figure out why the hell I was there. It was a very mysterious email that I got. Didn't know why I got it. Of course, I reached out to everybody in our Matrix field network at the time in 2012, trying to figure out, are you going? Well, you're not going. No one's invited. And I'm in this, you know, I mean, I'm just going to say it, Alex. It was just like this elite group, like full-time people and artistic directors. There were no TDs then. I think it was Dan, Chi Chai, and I. And Dan was an AD then. There was only like two people outside of a title that were there. And it was me and Steve Waldman. Steve Waldman and I. Couldn't figure out. And anyway, those 4 days changed my life in how I, the context of my intention in how I live my life moving forward. It was a call to action that changed me and my personal life. This is, you know, it's bigger than a consultation and a trade show, right?
Yeah. 2012 was the year I started with Matrix, and my first national training was in July of that year, and it was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And they had Blair Singer come in and speak, and I'm assuming these 4 days were they spent with Blair Singer?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys were doing?
They were 4 days prior to you guys getting there.
Uh-huh.
And it changed the education of how we do it at Matrix, right? And, mm-hmm. but it personally shifted my mindset about how, what do you want your legacy to be? Right? What do you want people to remember you as in your legacy in an industry that you love? And when you take that off of yourself and start to think about how can I be of service? And I don't mean that in a cliche way. And I don't mean this in any Mother Teresa way either. I mean, I mean this in the humblest, most part of my core, because, you know, this stuff, Alex, is in us, right? It's just who tapped into it and brought it forward so that you could be in this space and honor it and understand the responsibility and the I don't know what I'm trying to say. The responsibility of it. It's a big deal.
Yeah. And when you lean into it, the way you build relationships and the things that happen in life are so different in the most rewarding way. And it's not cliche. It might all sound cliche, but listen, I have had similar experiences from a lot of people, and it's those people that have found that in themselves that constantly encourage me to continue to, and it's not something, you know, it's not something that's great every day. Like, I have to constantly look within myself to find those things. But when we find that spark, and you surround yourself with people who are also close to that flame, it is really rewarding in all aspects of life, not just about growing your career. It's to your point, it's how you are in your personal life. And I started reading more when, you know, and it's all like,
reading changes, right? So, you know, the whole thing, the mindset starts to shift. And then, you know, the outcome of it is how people start to react to you through these shifts in mindset. And it's a really fearful place to be. It's like another place to jump off of. And there's no destination. You know, it's a practice, really. I catch myself practicing, trying to do my best every day about, you know, when I do a program or been a call to action for something on an empathy piece that they just called me about. I'm like, what's the outcome and how can I best serve in that arena to instill a thoughtful process and to create stability and strength in a time when things are absolutely none of that.
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I love that you said there's not a destination, right? Like, it's a mindset. It's a constant practice. But yes. It's fulfilling. It's
feel like jumping off, right? Sometimes you just need normal.
Yeah.
Sorry, not today. I'm not jumping off today, right? Like, I'm not doing it.
Right. Which is totally okay. Like,
yeah.
It's okay.
Six end day. Never mind. No, we're not jumping today.
Yeah, everybody gets a six in. You said something earlier to me. I think it was before we started recording this, but you said, I'm a freaking warrior, not a worrier. I hope I said that, you know, made sense of that. But it's okay to be a worrier some days, right? Just as long as you can find the warrior in you the next day.
That's right. Yes. I try to be a warrior, not a worrier.
I really love, I just love that quote. I literally, as soon as you said it, I just wrote it down on my notepad.
You know, I actually think it's like mine, right? Like, it's, I don't mean it has to be mine, but like, I don't think I got that anywhere. Like, I do a lot of Brene Brown quotes, right? And one of the things I've learned is like to give credit where credit is due. Like, when I come up with these things, because not that I come up with them, but when I listen to them, I like to say like, that was a Brene thing, right? She's somebody that speaks to me. There's a ton of opportunities for personal growth and development. You just have to find the person that resonates with you and that speaks to the journey you're on.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm reading Dare to Lead by Brene Brown right now.
Literally, it just came like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm not super far in, and I'm a big audible person because I honestly am really bad at reading. But it is pretty fantastic so far. But I think you have a lot. You know, I think when you, again, read, listen, surround yourself by those people, then warrior and not a worrier comes. Like, you have a lot of those, at least I feel like you do, that are personal to you.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. I've really just, I'm enjoying my evolution and my dance of life, even in its shit moments and its fucking first times and its uncomfortableness. Even I can weather that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we're always at a constant, like, push pull with that stuff. But you do so much of it, and I appreciate it quite a lot. Another thing, it's what makes you authentic, and I think people will be able to hear that. And I just let me ask you this: for someone who is maybe struggling with some of that and like balancing everything and practicing all of these things, like, do you have anywhere that you think people should go to like start finding inspiration or motivation? I mean, I guess Brené Brown, right? Her books and her new podcasts are probably great, but
yeah, The Gift of Imperfections, I think, was one of her first books. It was the first one I read, The Gift of Imperfections. And that book is really was an awakening for me in terms of giving me the license to be vulnerable and understanding what that meant, and that it's really a sign of strength and not weakness. And that forged me forward really well, you know. And it's even, Alex, it's, you know, I have a partner of 22 years, right? And so it's tricky because, like, you know, we go to these. So anyway, you should go get resources. You got to find a place that speaks to you. Jack Kornfield he does really great stuff. There's a ton of wonderful books out there that I like to read. And we should do a Dare to Lead book club. That'd be super fun.
Oh, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
We should get some people together at Matrix and do that.
Yeah. No, that's a fantastic idea.
I gotta balance everything, Alex, because again, I not only do I wear this technical director hat for Matrix, but I'm in the salon, right? So I'm managing a business 5 days a week. Like, it's a Tuesday through Saturday gig. Like, it's legit.
How do you manage everything?
Well, I try to put it in buckets, you know. I talked to you earlier, like my brain doctor, my psychologist or whatever you call him, what do you call him? Therapist. She was like, Lenny, you can get yourself all over the map, right? You get all this shit going on that you can't figure out. Forest to the trees. So she just started talking to me about like putting it on timelines and prioritizing it and making sure that you're not neglecting the things that are coming up and you're managing them and keeping them going, but that you're finishing what is in front of you that is the most urgent. So for instance, like when I think about, this is going to be going to resonate with somebody in our education field, but if I'm working on a program, Alex, on the plane going there on that program, I'm already too late. That program has to be in the can. The program that I'm working on the plane flying to and from is the next two.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I want everything done for what's current prior to departure. Then, so I've already moved on from that program because I have it.
It's already in there.
Yeah. There may be small little tweaks that come up, but in my head, it's done. I just have to exit. Yeah. Then so that's how I manage it. And you know, I manage my time in the salon. I try to work smarter, not harder. That's going to be a huge undertaking now, because the way I book and do my business, I go in for a short amount of time and I plow through a lot of business. So for instance, I can do up to 4 clients an hour if it's a one process color because of my pace of my application, right?
Right.
So that's going to change, Alex. I'm only going to be able to do one, maybe one every 45. So my income is going to change by 60 to 75%. Interesting.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. That's a heavy subject, I feel like, right now for so many of us.
Yeah. So I'm like realigning what that looks like and how to manage that. That's sort of where my head's at now, trying to help. Cause I wonder if I can have some insight and help somebody figure it out, that I could share, that's good, solid thought, then I will do that. I just don't have it figured out yet.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, but what I think you do so well, and it's okay to not always have it figured out, but you're super collaborative too, you know, with, constantly talking and surrounding yourself with other people in the industry and outside, and whether it's your brain doctor, I love that term, or friends or colleagues, and just like speaking things out loud sometimes helps you release and be able to manage in a better way. Like just letting it out and then collaborating and getting feedback from people around you.
Oh my God. Showed up and that was my dog and she's masked. I'm like, who the hell is that woman?
That's so great.
Isn't that funny? Oh my God, Alex. Pedro, quiet. It'll be funny on the podcast. If you'll be able to edit it. Oh my God, it's too funny.
Maybe we'll leave it in. It's kind of funny.
Pedro, come here. Lay down.
Oh, Pedro.
All right.
Well, it was the dog telling us we need to wrap it up. We're going on and on, but this has been really great.
It's been really great, Alex. You're. I just have to say, you know, it's not easy to do to interview somebody. It's really not. So it's a difficult thing to do, and you've done it gracefully. And I've listened to a couple of the podcasts, and you're doing a really fine job at it, young man.
Really, thank you, Lenny.
Crazy.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do for Matrix and hairdressers and this industry. I'm certain you will leave it better than how you found it. Let me ask you for maybe a great place to find inspiration is with Lenny Strand. So I know many of our listeners already know where you are and how to find you. But for those that don't, where can we find you socially?
On Instagram, my IG handle is at Lenny Strand. So LENNYSTRAND. It is the same for Facebook. And those are the two platforms that I'm on. I do a color correction live, Alex, on May 5th. I don't know when you're going to air this. It's from 2 to 2:45. It's going to be focused on color correction. That'll be an IG live from 2 to 2:45. And I'm going to focus on COVID correction, you know, making your life easier, not harder, tried and true, you know, color corrections. Cause I think they're going to be mild to moderate. They're not going to be extreme.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. And this should air before May 5th. But honestly, guys, follow Lenny because he's constantly posting and doing lives and great technical information on all things related to hair. And that's for those of you that are Matrix users or not.
Yeah, and I'm trying to throw in a little lifestyle too, Alex, like my bouge side, like my fashion side.
So are you going to post a picture of those shoes?
I guess. It feels a little weird because it's like, you know, it's like I'm totally bouged out and, you know, I'm unemployed, if you will. And like, but it felt good. I'm not going to lie.
Sometimes just that one little bit of retail therapy. I got a box from ASOS today that was really excessive that I ordered at 4 o'clock in the morning one morning when I woke up in the middle of the night and frantically decided I needed to have a shopping spree. So,
all right.
Thank you, Lenny. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for doing this with me.
Yep.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.